I had no friends. I had no social life. I went out of my house 5 times in 7 years socially.
This is the Helping Up Podcast, all about addiction, recovery, and grace. I'm Vic King, chaplain at Helping Up Mission, and today, an interview with Rick Plona. Rick graduated this fall from Helping Up Mission, and he is going home for Christmas. I hope you enjoy his story.
I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Hi, my name is Rick, and I arrived at the Helping Up Mission approximately 11 months ago. Always lived a good life, a productive life, had things in my life, homes, job security, never experienced homelessness, never thought it would happen to me. I went to many meetings. I had acquired 8 years sobriety from 1988 to 1996 and heard of these things at meetings, and for me, they were not yets. I would never figure I would wind up in a mission hopeless, penniless, without a friend. And I came to find out wonderful things as I was walking on the streets of Baltimore. I would like to say that I found God at the Helping Up Mission or in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but where I discovered God was on the streets of Baltimore through people's kindness. They helped me. I was not a panhandler, not even a cigarette did I ask for, or money, but God graced me with things. It was almost miraculously I start noticing that it was God working in my life through people. I thought I was all alone. I didn't come to a full realization of that till I got to the Helping Up Mission. But as people were helping me, I found myself thanking God. I unconsciously did the first, second, and third step on the streets of Baltimore. My life was certainly unmanageable. I was eating out of trash cans, picking up cigarette butts out of butt containers. I had found some liquor one day, a bottle of Scotch John Jameson, and I realized that it would be insane for me to pick that up and drink it on the streets of Baltimore homeless. Something bad could happen to me. And then the third step, turning my will over to the care of God, it was quite amazing how I got to that point. I was walking the streets of Baltimore and people done many acts of kindness toward me. I would find things, people would give me things just to sustain me enough to get through one day. It's quite an amazing story that I really couldn't possibly go into detail right now, the things that God graced me with, but I will go directly to the point how I arrived at the Helping Up Mission. I was a recluse for 7 years taking care of my mother, a blind diabetic. I had quit my job as a meat cutter, and I had to take care of my mom because she was a 24-hour, I hate to say, but a job. And I did that, and she passed away 3 years ago, and I was deep into alcoholism at the time. I had no friends. I had no social life. I went out of my house 5 times in 7 years socially. So when my mother passed away, I received a small inheritance of $18,000. And I had some drug addicts living next to me, and they knew I had the money. They asked me to help them with some money because their partner was dope sick, and I let them in my house and helped them out, and they seen where my money was. The day after, they told me I should go out and enjoy myself since my mother had passed away, that they would take me to the bar and meet some of my old friends. While I was doing this, they ransacked my house and stole my $18,000, my ID, everything, anything that was worth of anything to me. So I proceeded to live in my mother's house 2 years, cutting grass, shoveling snow, just getting enough money to buy cigarettes and buy beer. Food was never on the agenda. I know what hunger is. I know what lack of shelter is. But I stayed there for 2 years, and my sister eventually decided to sell the house. I was doing a little piecework job for a friend of mine across the street from me, and when I came home, I was informed that the sheriff would be at my house the next day to evict me. And that is exactly today, August 3rd of 2015. I was informed this on the night before. I had $9 in my pocket, bought 6 Bud Ice beers, and contemplated my future. The next morning, I got up, waited for my sister to arrive. She came. I just simply walked out the door and hollered to her, told her the keys were on the table. I had not a friend in the world, a penny in my pocket, a door to knock on, nobody. I contemplated my future and just start walking. and I walked for 37 days. And I went to this one meeting on New Year's Eve 2014. My friend across the street was trying to help me. She lied to me, said she was an alcoholic and she wanted to go to a meeting. But she had researched my son and found out that he would be at this meeting on New Year's Eve. Maybe I could get some help, but that was not my plan. I had been drinking that day. And I told her I would attend it, but let me take a shower and brush my teeth because I didn't want to go smell like alcohol, because I realized it's okay to smell like alcohol if you have a desire to stop drinking, but I had no desire. I didn't want to disrespect the program that had treated me so well for 8 years. I didn't want people to think that I was coming back to try to get sober, because I wasn't. That was not my intention. Well, unbeknownst to me, my son was there and he introduced me to two people, his girlfriend, which was great because she was a Ravens cheerleader, and his other lady friend. And we had small talk. Hi, son, how are you doing? Now, keep in mind that I only see my son one time in 6 years, and that was at my mother's viewing at a funeral. 9 months went by, and I was walking homeless in Canton Square, and I stopped by a little tanning salon, the last place I should stop because I was burnt by the sun. I was really ill. I was 115 pounds. And a lady come out. I guess she was afraid. She later told me that she was afraid I was going to rob her store, but she asked if she could help me, and I said no, I was just killing time. And she asked me how I was, and I told her I wasn't doing well. She asked me where I lived. I said wherever I step next is my home. And she went back and she went, offered me a bottle of water, told her I didn't want it, and she told me very vehemently to damn me to take the water and swallow my pride that it was hot out. So she went and got the water. She come back and she said, wait a minute, I know you. I said, ma'am, how do you know me? She says, you're Rick's father. I said, well, how would you know that? She goes, I seen you at that one meeting at Alcoholics Anonymous on New Year's Eve. She immediately went in, got information for the Helping Up mission and told me to attend an AA meeting the next day, that she would contact my son and members of the Helping Up mission to meet me at that meeting and explain what the mission was about, because I was afraid to go to a mission. I had heard all bad things about missions, theft, getting beat up and things of that. And I told her I thought I was safer on the street. And she cursed me, said, damn it. She said I would not put my best friend's father in an unsafe condition. So right at that moment, I believe I did the third step of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision to either die or change my life. And like I said, through the many acts of kindness, I was recognizing God. I would have to say that the 37 days homeless on the streets of Baltimore were the most educational and enlightening days of my life. So I had hope. And I walked the streets that night and I just said, please God, get me to that meeting. And I attended that meeting and the people were there. They gave me the information and I told them it was Labor Day weekend, and they told me that I couldn't go in till a Tuesday. And I told them that I could do it, do 3 days standing on my head. And I remembered from 8 years ago where there was a meeting on Sunday morning, and I got up, I went to that meeting. And I met two friends, and one was talking to me outside, and I noticed he had a fresh pack of cigarettes. And I didn't know who he was at the moment, so I asked him if I could have one. And he laughed and walked away and went to his car and gave me a pack of cigarettes. And I asked him why he was laughing. He said, because I didn't realize who he was. I said, well, who are you? And he informed me that he was one of my best friends, that we used to go to institution meetings together, take old-timers home to meetings. He used to eat dinner at my house and knew my son when he was a small child. And another guy come out, he said, you know him? And after I explained my situation, I realized who it was. He told me I wouldn't have to be homeless anymore, that I could come stay at his house and he would deposit me at the Helping Up mission, which I arrived on September 5th of 9th of 2016. I arrived at the Helping Up mission with nothing. As soon as I crossed the threshold, I acquired four things. I acquired clothing, I acquired food, I acquired shelter, and hope. I used a 45-day blackout period, having been in Alcoholics Anonymous for 8 years, to do my fourth step. When you're a recluse for 7 years, you play the tapes of your life constantly, so it wasn't really a soul-searching effort. It was just putting it on paper and wait for anticipation to finally get it done, because I realized after 45 days, life would smack me in the face because I would have to go back to meetings where my son attended, who I'd only seen one time in 6 years. And people would ask me about having 8 appointments and asking me why I'm not angry about having 8 appointments. I was simply telling where could I go in one day 8 times where someone was willing to help me. Yes, there are things I do not like to do, but it is a part of the structure here. I've done them, whether I like to do it or not, and I accepted it. Acceptance has been a big key here in the Helping Up mission, doing things that you don't like to do. All we have to do here is concentrate on our recovery. They do everything for us. They wash our clothes. They cook our meals. Everything is done. They educate us with the greatest counselors that you can imagine. All we have to do is follow some simple instruction and rules. Rules that people got to do every day in their life. I don't believe that I've done anything miraculous. I've just tried to better my life and stand still and take instruction. And God has blessed me. They tell me that grace is an unmerited gift, and I was graced by getting to the Helping Up mission. I realized that. And people treated me well in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had an event one weekend where I come across over $300. People treat me kindly, and I couldn't understand it. I spoke to Mike Rallo, and I asked him, I said, Mike, why aren't people doing nice things to me? Why are these things happening? And he told me, he goes, Richard, let me tell you something. He goes, when I seen you, you used to sit in the corner of my classroom, not say nothing, and you just had a sadness in your eyes. He said, you didn't speak. He goes, you didn't look well. He goes, I prayed for you a lot. I don't count people out. I just prayed hard for you. I wasn't afraid that you would drink. I was afraid that you may not even survive. He goes, and look at you today, 6 months later. You're seeking help. You're physically well. You're thinking right. Why is it so hard for you, Richard, to understand that people may love you? The sister that put you out on the street doesn't have to worry anymore about finding, being told that you were found dead. Your son doesn't have to worry about you. You're in a safe haven. Why can't you accept people's love? And since then, I have accepted people's love. Recovery has been painful, but it has been rewarding. Life is life. I have a better relationship with my son. It's not great, but it's amicable. I've turned it over to God in God's time, and I've done the best I can to amend myself. I cannot change the events of my past, and I have openly discussed that in my son's presence in an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have apologized and admitted the truths of my life. People ask me how I feel when my son shares about not having his father in his life and how he depended on his mother and sister. I said, I have no problem. He should never have to candy coat his story to save my feelings. The man is speaking the truth. I never felt so ashamed of myself. The first day off blackout, it was that friend that had gave me a pack of cigarettes. This is his 25th anniversary on October 25th. And he had asked me before I came to the mission if I would make his anniversary and explain to him that I did not know because of the policies here. And God blessed me by me getting out off blackout on October 23rd and got to attend that meeting on October 25th. And he called on my son, and my son told some of his story. I didn't even know my son had a drinking problem. I had never felt so ashamed of something in my life. Everyone in there knew I was his father. All I could do was hang my head in shame. I never felt like leaving a place so badly in my life, but I took it. But I realized he only spoke for 5 minutes, and God was just giving me his story a little bit of a time. They tell me that God gives you no more than you can handle, and I honestly believe that. It's been a wonderful journey in my life these last 11 months. Many things occurred in my life that are beyond belief. I told my friend Pete Lally, who has graduated from here, one day, 9 months sitting in the courtyard, and I said, Pete, you know, I knew I would be here, sitting here 9 months after I got here. And he questioned me, he said, how would you know that? And I said, because I didn't have nothing. I didn't have money. I didn't have shelter. I didn't have myself. I had lost my self-respect. I said, but what I didn't know is that I would have friends. I would have confidence in the future. I would have all these things that the mission gave me, that I would be reasonably happy. I'm not having fights with people. I'm not living in strife. I'm living a content life. I made myself a commitment. I could have left here with my sister. The sister put me out. They asked me how I thought about her. And I, at the time, when my first counselor, I said I could care if she lived or died, care less, because she wasn't a part of my life. After 6 months sobriety in here, I contacted my sister and told her we needed to talk. And she took me out to a nice lunch at Jimmy Seafood, and I told her about my plight on the streets being homeless. And she started crying. And I told her that I wasn't there to make her cry. I was there to thank her because she took me out of a place of despair and introduced me to the streets of Baltimore, where I found God through the kindness of people. And I wouldn't be sitting there eating lunch. I would be outside waiting for someone to leave so I could look in an actual trash can to find a cigarette butt, because that's where I was. And we are best of friends now. She supports me. She takes me to breakfast every Saturday morning. And we have a good relationship. Like I said, I have an amicable relationship with my son. They say in Alcoholics Anonymous, your life will be beyond its wildest dreams. A year ago on this date, I didn't even have a dream. It was only nightmares. So I have attained that already in this program. And things are only getting better because I'm letting people help me. I'm not afraid to ask for help. I still have problems asking for physical things. As silly as getting a haircut at the Mission, as silly as going down to get some clothes at a GLK, I have problems or asking somebody for a cigarette, but I don't have problems asking about emotional things. I've come to the realization of the statement 8 years ago when I was 8 years sober. I didn't understand that alcohol was just but a symptom of my disease. I understand I have shortcomings, character defects, but as long as I stay in Alcoholics Anonymous, go to church, have a faith in God, and believe in my higher power, I can manage these character defects and these shortcomings. And I realize that if I add alcohol to my system, I will open up the cage and let them all run wild, and there will be hell to pay. I don't believe if I drink, I will die tomorrow. Someone once told me, my neighbor said, that God ain't gonna let you die, Rick, when you want to. I believe it'll be a slow, miserable death. I don't want to go back there. I appreciate everything the Mission has done for me. I'm going to stay here 1 year and graduate, and I may not leave that day. I do not know what tomorrow brings for me, but I do have a plan, and I plan to try to execute that. I can almost assure you it will not be because of lack of effort. I like my life now. It is a simple life, but it is so rewarding. I cannot put in on money value what I've gotten from this program. It almost makes me cry every time I speak of it. I went to Cornerstone. I did that for 7 months. That was a very hard thing, dealing with the commotion and the problems in there with people, but I persevered, and I didn't put it out publicly. I spoke with my counselors about it. I've told my counselors 100%. I have bared myself naked to them, and they have helped me in every aspect of my life with all the problems of my life, and I'm coming to a better understanding of knowing myself. It's wonderful when I go to meetings and see people that are still sober after 25 years, and they tell me how I helped them. Understand, when you go out of Alcoholics Anonymous after acquiring 8 years sobriety and you're distant for 19 years, you come in with shame, you know, because you realize that where your life could have been. With all the bad decisions that I've made in my life, which have been many, I would like to say only hurt me, but unfortunately they have hurt other people and are still hurting people. All I ever had to really do one time in my life, throughout my life, is make one good decision. And that was the third step of Alcoholics Anonymous, by turning my will and my life over to the care of God. None of this would have been necessary. I don't believe that it was necessary for me to take every drink night after I was introduced to 8 years of recovery. I knew there was a way up and a way out, and I knew there is today. That way and that way up and that way out is through service to others, believing in God, praying, and trusting people. You have to trust people. I'm not one of these people that say I don't trust anyone. It's been a soul-searching effort. I look at every day of my life and I find goodness. I tell guys at the Hum, if you have a bad day, a peacekeeper hollers at you or whatever. I said, you can take it as a good thing. If you reacted to it badly, it is also a good thing, because you realize it, you have a conscience, and you can go back and make amends for it. If you reacted properly, then it's 100% a good thing. So there's so many small things here that you can learn. It's just a fact-finding mission. It's too much to put into words. I look at my badge when I entered here, and I use it as inspiration. I don't ever want to be that person again. I love the person that I am today. I can honestly say that. That's something that I lived in guilt my whole life. And now today I feel better about myself. I don't no longer cry at meetings when my son speaks. I hold my head up high. I've told him I'm sorry. I've done everything I possibly can. And I'm making a living amends to them. Everything does not get better, as they say. Things will get better. Some things don't get better. Anything gets better is you. If you apply the 12 steps and spiritual principles into your life and find something more powerful than yourself. I let go of my pride because I realized when I got here I really didn't have too much to be proud of. And that's a shame when you're a 57-year-old man. Every time I leave this place, I catch a bus to go to a meeting. I go to 11 to 12 meetings a week. And I go through the neighborhoods that I lived in that I walked homeless, and they're like monuments to me. There's one monument, it's called Hauser's Restaurant. I worked there 25 years, and it represented a lot in my life. And every time I would go by it, I would be very sad because of the state of my life when I left there. I had given up two precious things in my life when I had left there. I had given up my sobriety and my family. I had worked there 25 years. And seeing that there always constantly reminded me. But one wonderful thing happened that I realized. They tore it down last month. And I figure it's God's way of trying to clear the wreckage of my past away for me, where I don't got to look at that building anymore. It's his way of saying, Rick, get out of the past and move on with today. These are the small things that I'm telling you about that I recognize. It may have been just an institution to you, but it represented the ups and downs of my life. And I recognize these things because big things don't happen, good or bad, in our life on an everyday basis. We got to look at the small things and be grateful for them. And I can honestly say every night I go to bed at night and I have pretty good days. I have moments here at the mission and on the outside, but there are moments. I turn them over and learn to walk away from them. And a lot of people used to tell me, Rick, why don't you come in the bar? Because I lived right next to the bar I used to drink in. And they didn't realize the biggest thing I can do today to be a man is not to pick up a drink. I know one last thing is when I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't want people to know who I was because I was Rick's father. You know, I didn't know what was shared about me. Last thing I wanted to know was be identified, but people kept identifying me because they knew him and they knew me and they kept calling me Rick's father. And I told a friend, so when am I going to get my own identity? I can tell you today that I have my own identity and it's good. People respect me and I respect them. I give away what was freely given to me. People have shown me friendship and kindness, and I've freely accepted it. I'm no longer ashamed of myself to accept the fact that I need help. I live this life one day at a time, and with God's help, I pray every day that I can pursue my goals and just be the person that I am and the person that I can be.